Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we've got open microphones for you. We are broadcasting live from the clubhouse, lounge, and indoor golf simulator. This place is incredible. You're going to hear more about that in just a few minutes. Plus, we've got open microphones for you and some great guests that are going to join us over the course of the next 2 hours as well. But first, I want to pick up where we kind of left off yesterday. Holy biscuits, this hydrothermal explosion in Yellowstone National Park. If you didn't see the video yesterday morning, I'm sure you went and watched it after we were talking about it. Crazy stuff. Well, we've got the scientist in charge for the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, which is under the U.S. Geological Survey, the USGS, on the phone lines with us right now. And, you know, normally I don't take phone calls while we're on the road, but we got to do it for this one. Mike Poland, great to have you on the show this morning. And, man, what did you think when you first saw these reports and these videos out of Yellowstone?
Yeah, that was a really, really dramatic event, wasn't it? I think, just probably as stunned and captivated as everyone else. Now, there's a history of these events happening in Yellowstone. I've seen the craters that have been left by those and the deposits. We even found one based on monitoring data that occurred back in April in Norris Geyser Basin. It was unwitnessed. So to actually have seen what one of these things looked like, it was dramatic. I'm really grateful that no one was injured. It could have gone much differently.
When is the last time a hydrothermal explosion as big as this one happened?
It's really difficult to say because a lot of times these events are happening in the backcountry, so they sort of escape notice. In the front country, there have been some decent explosions in the past few decades. Some really dramatic ones happened back in the 1880s at Excelsior Geyser. That's why Excelsior has such a huge crater now. This one, I think, was maybe on the large side of the recent ones, but not completely unprecedented.
And the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory, tell us what all you do at the observatory throughout the year. Kind of big picture here with about a minute or so to go before our quick break.
Well, I'll point out first that the observatory, it's actually a consortium of institutions. We've got Montana State University and the University of Wyoming, University of Utah, the Park Service, the USGS, the State Geologic Surveys of Idaho, Montana, and Wyoming. So we all work together to try to better understand Yellowstone, how it works, what the hazards are, and especially to get that information out to the public. I think that's really one of our main goals, is to make sure people know everything that we can possibly know about the Yellowstone hydrothermal, volcanic, and seismic activity.
Well, that's what I loved yesterday on the radio. I went to the USGS Volcanoes Facebook page. We actually had it embedded in one of the stories on our Montana Talks website where, hey, here's more information. What I loved about it is people were asking very good questions. Well, is this an indicator of something bigger about to blow, like the Yellowstone caldera, which would be a life-ending, event, right? And in real time, there was the USGS commenting back, answering questions. And so great job by you and your social media team on that front. All right, a few more minutes in the next segment here with the scientist in charge from the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory right after this. And then first up on the microphones, the great Francis and Big Fork.
Securing America.
FBI Director Christopher Wray testifying before a House committee Wednesday.
The shooter may be deceased, but the FBI's investigation is very much ongoing.
Into the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump. Wray confirming the shooter was able to fly a drone over the Pennsylvania rally grounds prior to the attack. That he got off 8 shots amid a massive security failure.
I want to assure you and the American people that the men and women of the FBI will continue to work tirelessly to get to the bottom of what happened.
The FBI also warning of an uptick in threats toward public officials surrounding politics.
It's a reflection of a broader phenomenon that we are seeing in this country, where people, again, very passionate, I respect that, very angry, I respect that, but there's a right way and a wrong way to express yourself when you're angry, and violence and threats of violence just can't be it.
Jeff Manasso, Fox News.
So over the weekend, my wife and I went and did the hike to Woodbine Falls, and I noticed that the trail bridge hasn't been replaced. It was 2 years since the flood. Still no replacement bridge. And then, of course, I saw the tragic story in the news about the missing Montana State University stoop on the East Rosebud. And there again, the trail bridge still has not been replaced. Why haven't these bridges been replaced in 2 years? The answer, MontanaTalks.com. Bye.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana, statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Holy biscuits, I'll say it again. Michael Poland is the scientist in charge at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory. He told me during the break, he said, Aaron, we just shared another video. People saw the video from that real estate agent out of California who was right up close on the boardwalk when the hydrothermal explosion occurred at Yellowstone. But you told me, go look at the latest video we shared from the road. And my goodness, wow.
Yeah, that one really gives a perspective of just how significant this was. And when you're that close, it sort of dominates the frame, right? When you can see it far away, it really puts it in perspective.
I mean, sadly, it reminds me of seeing, you know, car bombs in places like Iraq back in 05, 06.
Yeah, I mean, it's the thing, the plume went up at least a few hundred feet. And from the video from the road, you can see the debris that came out. Geologists have been mapping all of that debris, and they have found rocks that are several feet across, probably weigh many hundreds of pounds. And there are grapefruit-sized rocks that went for hundreds of feet. The explosion seems to have been directed to the northeast, so actually away from the boardwalk area and actually down towards the river. And that's where the biggest blocks fell. So in some ways, this was, you know, well, it was obviously fortunate for a lot of ways. Especially fortunate that it seems like most of the explosive debris, the really big stuff, was directed away from where the boardwalk was.
Yeah, because people were practically right on top of that when it happened. Little kids, and I think it was a woman that was at the tail end of the boardwalk running away from it. It looked like something out of a Hollywood movie. So I think as we shared yesterday from the USGS, look, this was a hydrothermal explosion. It's not indicative of volcanic activity. So doesn't appear to be, you know, any connection to some sort of indicator to a larger eruption like, say, the Yellowstone caldera, which would be a life-ending event. But what's been most interesting to you, and what are you most interested in watching here in the days ahead?
I think looking at the changes that this system may go through, this particular area has a history of this sort of explosion. You know, this one is obviously really dramatic and so well captured. But there was a small explosion from basically the same area in 2009. There's some stuff in 2006. These features were sort of looking back at the history of them. They might not have even been there prior to about 1900. And after the big earthquake in 1959, they started really acting up and having some really dramatic eruptions. For a time, the largest geysers in the world were located right here. So it's obviously an incredibly dynamic area that experiences things like this from time to time. So by sampling the waters, looking at the changes in the chemistry, we might be able to see more about what's going on beneath the surface in that shallow hydrothermal system. I'm pretty excited to hear the results of those studies.
Well, and we so often hear talking day-to-day news, well, recently this, recently that, but I love how geologists put recent in perspective. Well, recently, back in 1989. Well, recently, back in 1880.
Yeah, that is kind of funny. A lot of the questions that I've dealt with are folks that say, well, this has never happened before in Yellowstone. I say, well, you know, yeah, it has. And geologically recently, there have been far bigger ones. It's one of the things we had to answer a lot of questions about is we characterize this as a small explosive event. That's not to say it wasn't dramatic or extremely hazardous. It obviously was. But in the scheme of things, this is pretty small because in the past 10 or 13,000 years, Yellowstone has made several dozen craters that are hundreds of feet across from steam explosions like this one. The biggest steam explosion crater in the world is in Yellowstone. It's on the north side of Yellowstone Lake, Mary Bay. It's a mile and a half across. So these things can be absolutely tremendous.
So this is just Yellowstone doing what Yellowstone does.
It's Yellowstone being Yellowstone. I think that's a good way of putting it, yeah.
Yeah, very interesting. Now, the Yellowstone caldera, I know we've got a couple more minutes with you here. Again, you know, you don't believe there's any connection between volcanic activity, et cetera. This is just Yellowstone being Yellowstone. But if the big one actually did occur, the Yellowstone caldera, a brief summary of what the Yellowstone caldera is and what that would mean if she did blow up.
So this is one of the largest volcanic systems in the United States. It's got a very large reservoir of molten rock in the subsurface. Fortunately, we know that most of that rock, that magma chamber, is solid. And we know this by looking at the speed of seismic waves that pass through the region. So it's a bit like taking an MRI of the subsurface of the Earth. So we're not too worried about a volcanic eruption. Most volcanic eruptions in Yellowstone are lava flows, really thick lava flows, not really big explosions. But when you're standing at Old Faithful and you look all around you, there's sort of high ground all around you. It's almost like you're in a little valley. All of that high ground, those are from lava flows that have erupted in the past few 100,000 years. So that's the most likely form of eruptive activity if it were to occur in Yellowstone. The last lava flow happened about 70,000 years ago. If we got a really large explosive eruption, yeah, you wouldn't want to be anywhere near it. It would be truly devastating.
And when you say go ahead.
Yeah, please. We're not too worried about anything like that in the future because the magma chamber is mostly solid and there really just isn't a lot of pressure building at this point. So it's explosions like this, actually, that are the most important hazard on human timescales. This and strong earthquakes, like the one that happened in 1959. I think those are underappreciated. They don't get the credit they're due, although maybe that's going to change now that this video is out there.
Yeah, no, very interesting. And you made a great point about how now everybody has a cell phone in their pocket with video and photo capabilities. And so we're capturing what might have before just been word of mouth. Now you can see it for yourselves and share it instantly far and wide. Michael Pollan, the scientist in charge at the Yellowstone Volcano Observatory for the U.S. Geological Survey. Great to chat with you. Thanks for the great information. And when I'm back in studio, let's get you on for a full hour taking listener questions and phone calls and more, because this has been great.
Yeah, that'd be fun. I'm always loving to talk about volcanoes in Yellowstone.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. As I mentioned, we are broadcasting live from Kalispell. We are at the Clubhouse Lounge, an indoor golf simulator. You can come down, work on your golf game, and take a shot on the microphone, too, while you're
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. This was a salvage operation. Yes, Democrats were petrified that the calamitous performance by President Biden in last month's debate would cost him the presidency. But speaking frankly, they were even more worried about bleeding seats down ballot. Chances for Democrats in competitive House and Senate seats tanked after President Biden's poor debate performance. So switching out the top of the ticket was an effort to prevent an utter Democratic demolition. Think of the historic Democratic bloodlettings in 1994 and 2010. The Senate will be tough to hold, period. But President Biden stepping aside may buoy the candidacies of Democrats representing swing states. But it also helps Democrats flip the House. Democrats believe House Republicans are in chaos, burning through former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy and tolerating regular stunts from Representatives Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert. So Democrats thought the GOP pandemonium gave them a great chance to win the House. And if Democrats couldn't prevail to win the House under these circumstances, well, they may as well pack it all in. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Okay, we're going to open up the microphones for you. If you got something you want to talk about, or even if you don't want to get on the microphone and you want to just come down and say hi, come down and see us at the Clubhouse Lounge here. Eric Maldonado, best way to describe where we're at, I mean, close to the fairgrounds, on Highway 2.
Right across from the McDonald's, Fairway McDonald's, or the McDonald's across from the fairgrounds. Everybody knows it's been here since the 60s.
I probably went there a bunch in the 80s as a kid with my grandma.
We're just in this little development here right next to the gas station.
It's a great huge facility here. We'll talk more about that here in just a second. But Eric, before I go to Francis and from Big Fork, you saw that video that I was talking about with Michael Pollan there, video from the road. That was crazy.
Yeah, that was Yellowstone calling. Hopefully somebody picked up, because that was, I mean, act of God to save those people. I mean, just being that close to that boiling water, you know, go up a couple hundred feet, there's rocks, there's debris, there's scalding water. I mean, there was kids on that thing. It was,
you know, I was thinking about that with the Trump assassination attempt, and he gets nicked in the ear, he gets shot in the ear, and he's that pastor, that incredible pastor from Detroit, called it a miracle by a millimeter. And you think about it, you know, like he came this close to being gone. And same thing for those people. Had that, you know, hydrothermal explosion had the direction of that blast gone this way instead of that way towards the Firehole River, entire families could have been potentially just wiped
out. Yeah, no, that the shooting on Trump, you know, not to get too biblical on you, but, you know, Old Testament says that the right ear is the ear of God. When they were choosing priests, Aaron cut the right ear and let it bleed. And that was basically a sign of purification, and now you're ready to hear God's word.
Interesting.
Yeah, look that up in the Old Testament.
Well, if you just about got shot in the head, I would think you'd be open to hearing the word of God.
It's amazing. When they took the shot of Trump when he was down on the ground, it literally looks like he is praying.
That's 6:11. Ephesians 6:11, I think, was it Pastor Sewell or was it Franklin Graham? I think it was Franklin Graham who talked about Ephesians 6:11.
Yeah. No, I think, you know, you saw a different Trump during the convention. I think you saw a more humble man. I think you saw a person that was reflecting on near death. But like I said before, it should have never happened. It's just disgusting. I know that, you know, listening to you guys last week, and I didn't get on the phone. I was busy, but just absolutely just disgusting. I mean, you're ex-military. I mean, just a 12-year-old that plays Call of Duty would know. I mean, you could take a 12-year-old that plays video games, and you could stand him where Trump was for the op report, and he could go like this and look around, and he would have been, I would want to be right there. I'd want to put my sniper right there. I'd want to put my a 12-year-old playing video games.
And again, I was no sniper. We had incredible snipers that were in our company that we worked with on a daily basis and had some incredible success thanks to their efforts, right? And then our guys, and then my guys went in and got the BDA afterwards, and then that led to some follow. Anyway, without getting into that great operation, but not being a sniper myself, I know that if I'm going to go be a sniper somewhere, I'm not going to get on a roof. And even if I'm on the second floor, third floor, 15th floor, whatever, you don't have your barrel hanging out the window. You go back further. This should be have been the most easy counter sniper operation in American history.
Yeah, I mean, you'd know better than I. But I mean, you have those missions where you go into a village or a small town. You guys don't just walk out in the open between two buildings, do you? You don't just go, hey, we're Americans, and walk down the middle of the road.
Well, depending on the threat level, but yeah, and which road which route, but
common sense would say, okay, this is we're going to be ducks in a barrel here. I mean, we're not going to do this. It's the same thing with the president. You know, it's all going to come down to, and I'm surprised somebody hasn't done this because it was telecast. So all you got to do to be in Congress is you go find that telecast, and it's date stamped, time stamped, and so you just basically rewind the tape from Trump's speech shot to the time that he walks up on stage. How many minutes was that? So if that was 5 minutes before he actually spoke, 5 minutes is plenty of time to go, hey, we have a suspicious character. We think he's threatening, and we need to remove the president now. They should have jumped on the stage as soon as that came over the comms and just whisked him away.
Yeah. Yeah, no, so many questions. Well, lots to talk about. It's great to have Eric Maldonado here with us from KJJR Radio as well. Let's get this lovely lady on the microphone, Frances from Big Fork, one of our favorite callers into the show. Frances, so good to see you.
Thank you.
I told you didn't have to get all dressed up so nice for us here this morning, but you're going to Sykes for breakfast afterwards.
Yeah. So we get it. Yes, we are. And I was just wondering, how come Tester hasn't endorsed Kamala?
What's your answer? So, yeah, Liberal Senator John Tester, he was confronted by a Scripps News reporter yesterday. Not confronted. It was just hey, Senator, what do you think? He refuses to give an answer. The process is still underway. What process? You guys just threw the whole democratic process in the trash can. And what's he afraid of?
Well, he knows what he's afraid of. He's afraid of us. And I also heard that some of the disabled veterans aren't going to get a check this month because they run out of money. So instead of giving all the money to the illegal aliens, don't you think our vets deserve first?
No, I saw that. Actually, it was, again, our callers always have, our listeners have the best information. I can do all the show prep in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm still going to miss something. It was Linda in Billings who's made that very point that you just made. And then our producer, Travis, pulled up. It's a Military Times story. $15 billion shortfall in the VA and threatening veterans' benefits payments.
I know, and that's ridiculous. Where did that $15 billion go?
Well, they're saying, well, we added all these people to the system because of this and that. And now it's created this $15 billion. Well, you should have predicted that and projected that when you added these other pieces to it. But that's what they like to do. It's just like the federal government. You know, we're talking a lot about national parks. Politicians like to build more buildings. They like to purchase more federal land. But they've never typically liked to take care of what they already got. And that's why, thankfully, thanks to Montana Senator Steve Daines and the Great American Outdoors Act, we finally started to get infrastructure funding for Glacier and for Yellowstone. Because prior to that, you just had, you know, big government politicians that wanted to buy more federal land but couldn't even take care of what they got.
Oh, no, they never take care. Look at everything in the park was falling apart. And they fixed it up a little bit, but they won't pick up all the trash and all the firewood so it'll burn like a torch if it gets started.
That's right, especially with these, you know, high temperatures we've had. It's going to drop down into the 80s here, I think, starting today and tomorrow.
I've got to put my coat back on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, pack a sweatshirt for the cold temperatures in the low 80s.
Yeah, low 80s. You go 99, it's pretty hot for Montana.
Watch out for Frances. She's going to be water skiing off the river right out there on the Flathead Lake. So.
Oh, yeah, right. But it would be fun if I could, but not anymore.
Well, you can sit on the back of the boat. So.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't mind. I like boat rides, that's for sure.
Isn't that the best, getting out on the water?
Yeah.
Oh, man, I tell you, especially up here in the Flathead. I mean, man, there's so many little lakes here, little lakes there, and of course, Flathead and Whitefish and everything.
And you still haven't taken me up on my very good friend that owns Big Sky Fishing Charters. And he said he'd take you out any time.
See, Eric Maldonado, for our listeners who don't remember this, I think Eric talked about it the last time we did a live show out on the town here in Kalispell. Like, yeah, we've got the opportunity. We could actually do our show from the middle of the lake on a fishing charter boat. And then I could do the show, and then I could do some fishing. We could have a guest out there. They could be fishing and then join us on the mic.
Grab Danes or one of the congressmen or the governor.
More like listeners and some key folks like that.
Yeah, the boat is, I don't know exactly the length. I think it's 36 or 40. It's a lot. It's a big boat. It holds 20 people.
It's
air conditioned.
It's a 6-foot boat. Let's get out on the water.
Right? And, and I'm going to tell you something. My buddy Chris says, he never says, he guarantees you'll catch a fish. My phone's going to start ringing here in about 2 seconds. He's like, never say guarantee. We don't control. I'm like, you do too. I know that you're still a scuba diver. You jump down under the boat. You got a guy going like this, and then they just
hook the fish to it.
I like that.
But so that's the thing. Yeah, so what I want to do is I want to come up and do the show, but then also, let's go do this fishing trip. Let's go do this. Let's go golf.
You need some fun.
Well, we need some. I'm going to get a little bit of fun in, but we got a country to save first, right,
yes.
Francis?
Yes.
And so we got to fish while the fish are biting, and the fish are biting all the way through November. So that's why I'm busy, and that's why we're doing these great events with Americans for Prosperity Montana. Yeah. In fact, Josh Carl was here.
I've seen him.
Yeah, we're going to be here at lunchtime. So today, if you're listening right now and you can't make it down for the live show right now, we'll come back from 11:30 to 1 here to the Clubhouse Lounge and Indoor Golf Simulator. We're going to have gift cards, free gift cards for you to help you fight inflation. Because, you still want to have a good time. You want to come down and have a good lunch, and you want to, practice your golf game. But with, Joe Bidenomics and John Tester and Kamala's policies, it's a little tough for some people right now.
And a lot of people. I don't think it's just a few.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably not as many in this area. But you take anybody who works in a restaurant or any place like that or a hardware store, what are their wages compared to what the food costs? I mean, you used to be able to buy a little pot roast for $5. Now it's probably 25.
Yeah, and just to mention that, at some of the fast food restaurants here to counteract some of the inflation, they have end of day pay. I've never heard of this before.
What's that?
End of day pay?
You get paid every day at the end of the day.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And that's some of these people can literally survive.
That's what I loved about working in the restaurant business is at least you had some cash in your pocket at the end of the day. And you'll have even more cash in your pocket if Donald J. Trump gets back in.
Absolutely.
That's for sure.
No tax on tips, and Senator Steve Daines has already introduced the bill. Hold that thought. More ready.
Serving the great state of Montana. From the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, Eric Maldonado, yeah, our great hosts here at the Clubhouse Lounge at Indoor Golf Simulator. We got coffee and donuts. You know, Frances and Big Fork, she doesn't need sugar in her coffee. She's sweet enough without it, so... we're good to go.
She's a fan favorite. Everybody knows when she walks in the door.
She's a celebrity. Yeah, they're going to be coming here for autographs shortly. So
make me embarrass me.
So, Francis, you said, ooh, I want one of those. I call him Perry the Poet. Perry in Columbus. You know, he actually kind of writes up.
Poetry?
It's not poetry, but it sounds poetic. It's political commentary, but he writes up what he's going to say when he calls into the show. And for most people, that doesn't work. You just want to talk. You just want to be conversational. But Perry pulls it off.
He does a great job.
Oh, man. But anyway, Perry sent me this package to Aaron and your crew, a token of our appreciation for all the good work you do for Montana and our republic. Please hand these out to anyone who will put it on the rear window glass of their vehicle. Put one on your party barge. There you go. Just get them out there to help send the flip-flop, flat-top phony over to K Street begging for his new slot at the public hog trough. And their bumper stickers here.
Yeah, I want to tell if I know if he's listening, and I don't know if he has enough paper. But, Perry, I need you to make me a bumper sticker. It needs to say, Tester is a dumpster fire next to a train wreck on a Superfund site. Now, probably about a 5-foot-long bumper sticker.
An airbrush photo of him and Kamala. So there's two bumper stickers, and if you come down here to the Clubhouse Lounge, you can get your hands on one. I thought, hey, let's bring them to our friends in the Flathead. Tester equals deep state. That's one, and then the other, Tester equals Swamp Rat. Yeah, number one in lobbyist cash.
Yeah.
For the second time.
Doing what? The guy makes a lot of money, and what does he do for all that money he has?
He's just a poor old dirt farmer.
From Big Sandy.
Yeah. Right.
I'd like to see him live off his dirt farm.
Well, yeah, everybody keeps saying, we're going to send him back to Big Sandy. He ain't going back to Big Sandy.
No.
He is cashing in on K Street already. He's really going to cash in on K Street after he's kicked to the curb after this November. You just watch.
Well, I'd say send him home, and that would be Washington, D.C.
Exactly. Yeah, that's where his million-dollar-plus mansion is at, his little castle on Capitol Hill.
Yeah, we had this conversation earlier, and, anybody listening that's maybe on the fence whether to vote for Trump. And in the past, the idea that a lot of Democrats had if they didn't like their candidate is they'd vote for the president, and then they'd go down ballot and vote Democrat. And to keep the president they just voted for in check, we can't do that anymore because these people have taken the check and they've written the check and they've spent our money, and that's all they care about. They're not keeping anybody in check.
Well, yeah, no, I've actually heard this. So, because I've been doing these events all across the state, I met this one guy, and he's friends with Mark Wilson down in Billings, and he's a lifelong Democrat, and good guy, enjoyed talking with him, but he didn't at the time want to vote for Joe Biden just because, he sees how bad things are getting, but he still feels compelled to vote Democrat down ballot, and it's like, and that was one of his, at least one of his message points. I think it's just some of these folks are just diehard, lifelong Democrats, and they can't get – it doesn't matter how bad things get. It doesn't matter how much we are on the brink of World War III with these failed policies and inflation and everything. They will still vote Democrat down ballot. And one of his things was, well, you know, because I think he expects Trump to win. Well, we can't expect anything.
No.
And so this guy thinks, well, okay, if Trump wins, then I can vote Democrat here, and that'll keep Trump in check. Well, look, there's no guarantee that Trump will win this election. So who's going to keep them in check?
Yeah, nobody.
And that's why. Look, if for your kids and your grandkids, you've got to support Tim Sheehy, the Navy SEAL veteran, in this U.S. Senate race. Francis, you've gotten to meet Tim Sheehy. What did you think?
I liked him really well, and he's kind of humble guy. Oh, sorry.
He put the microphone closer to
him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he was really nice. I like him. I've met him several times at different fundraisers and stuff, and he's always polite, he's always nice, and he doesn't show off and thinks he never says, I'm great, or anything like that.
And you don't have any problem with him owning a business and employing people in Montana.
No, I don't.
Are you sure? Because Tester seems to think that's a bad thing.
I know, and he keeps on telling everybody, oh, how much lobbyist money he takes. Well, look at who's taking the most. He is.
Yeah,
He's such a liar.
I had a conversation with some friends, and they didn't even know what he did for a living. And they're like, they said to me, well, why is he even looking, why do they talk about his lobbyist money? I said, well, he builds airplanes that put fires out. How many private individuals buy airplanes that put fires out? And they're like, none. Well, then he's selling these to the government. So therefore, he has to have some form of representation to make sure that his business doesn't
work. To work with the government.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. The National Guard Association has lobbyists to lobby on behalf of National Guard members. Veterans have lobbyists to lobby on behalf of veterans. Everybody, the farmers, ranchers have lobbyists to lobby their interests in the federal government. Yeah, it's so absurd. Tim in Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app with regard to the fishing trip on Flathead Lake. He says, okay, twist my arm. I'll go on the fishing charter and sit in on the show for a couple hours next summer. So there we go.
We could actually have a contest. Let's work on that.
Oh, we should do that. Let's plan it for next summer.
Let's do it. We'll do a contest for the listeners. And we got to save room for, say, any special guests. So say maybe six winners from across the state.
And, yeah, that'd be fun.
And we're talking, I mean, it's you know, he charges $2,500 a day.
We got to get Tim and Billings in there, though, for sure,
yeah.
Because he's a winner already, but he's also really good at catching fish, too. Breaking news from the New York Times. Somebody wants to be a VP candidate here. Governor Gavin Newsom will order California officials to start removing homeless encampments after a recent Supreme Court ruling. One of our listeners just messaged me on the app earlier. Is Bozeman doing anything to do away with these homeless encampments?
Did it say anything about Chi visiting California?
That's what I was wondering, yeah. His dear leader must be coming back to California.
China must be buying some of California or something.
Yeah. Xi Jinping is coming back to San Francisco.
Yeah.
Sweep the streets. Yeah. Clean up the human feces.
Yeah. But I cannot believe how filthy these Democrat cities are. Nobody even wants to go.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just disgusting.
The blue-run cities. That actually ties in with a story that I've got in front of me here. By the way, before I get into this story, hey, if there's other folks out there that are here already with us, we've got a great crowd here.
If somebody else wants to talk,
as Francis said, if anybody else wants to come join us on the microphone, I know we got Jeremy May here.
Yes.
We're going to keep Jeremy for the 9 o'clock hour, though, because I want to keep him for the 9 o'clock hour. But I know we've got the Flathead Electric Cooperative folks. We definitely want to sneak on. And then they've got a special guest here in town as well. So, but if anybody else is out there, I know we've got some other listeners. They're like, hey, I just want to listen. I don't want to talk on the show. But, you young lady, if you want to come join us, come on up here. We got a chair open. Come on right down. Yeah. Yep, you're good. Eric Maldonado, though, but check out this report. So this is from the Committee to Unleash Prosperity, which is Steve Moore's outfit. So we've talked a lot about the migration, the people that have fled these other states to move to red states. They have fled the Californias and the New Yorks, and they've fled to the free states of Florida, the free state of Texas, the free state of Montana. Red states have gained nearly $200 billion in extra income due to domestic migration. And we aren't, Montana isn't even top five on the list.
But point out the losses, and what states are those?
New Jersey. So the top five states, domestic migration, Florida.
Florida.
You always say Florida, Jerry. Texas, North Carolina, Arizona, and South Carolina. The bottom five, New Jersey, Massachusetts, Illinois, New York, and California.
Yeah, places you don't want to live.
Now Arizona is kind of it's a little blue right now. They got a crazy governor down there, but it's apparently solidly in Trump's corner right now.
Yeah, you know, the whole immigration thing to me is it's so stupid. It's, you know, I think I've said this before. It's like standing in a crazy ward and listening to Abraham Lincoln and Napoleon argue about whether Michael Jackson or the king, who was a better swimmer. I mean, we're in crazy town.
We are. I mean, every day. That's why, like, when we were talking about this hydrothermal explosion at Yellowstone, I mean, it's just like every day it seems like there is something crazy going on, which leads people to think, like,
is this the end?
Well, what's going on here? But here we are. We're in the beautiful Flathead Valley. The temperatures are going to come down a little bit. We're at the indoor golf simulator. You can escape the smoke and work on your golf game.
Come on down to the clubhouse.
Yeah, come on down and see us. We've got another guest stepping up to the microphone right after this quick break, and then we'll be here for the entire 9 o'clock hour as well. So a great show coming up for you.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Newsweek reported that the last time she was running for president, that Kamala Harris ranked as being more liberal than Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders. Government watchdog group, their website, governortrack.us, ranked all 100 U.S. senators with an ideological score from 1, meaning the most conservative, 1.0, to 0.0, most liberal. The score is based on their legislative behavior and how similar pattern of bills and resolutions they co-sponsor are to other Congress members. They gave Sanders an ideological score of 0.02. Harris had a perfect score, 0.00. That's the person running for president.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
You know, out of all the things we can do to maintain and protect our homes, you know what? Getting up on a ladder, cleaning out the gutters, that's the last thing anyone wants to do. I know, I've done it. And right now you can save up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. An investment in Leaf Filter is an investment engineered to protect your entire home. Now, the beauty of Leaf Filter is they take care of everything start to finish. Every installation comes with a free inspection, free estimate, and a lifetime guarantee. Now, a Leaf Filter Trusted Pro will clean out, realign, seal your gutters before installing Leaf Filter, protect your home, and never clean out gutters ever again with Leaf Filter. They're America's number one gutter protection system. And schedule your free inspection. Get up to 30% off your entire purchase when you go to leaffilter.com/Hannity. That's a free inspection up to 30% off, leaffilter.com/Hannity, and do it today.
See representative for warranty details. Promotion is 20% off plus a 10% senior or a military discount, 1 discount per household.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
U.S. economy has been doing quite well, especially when judged against the performance of our peers around the world. We should be concerned if that head-of-class performance is for the right reasons. According to the International Monetary Fund, the U.S.'s share of the world economy will come in this year at 26.3%, up by 2.3 percentage points from 6 years ago. On the other side, the economic shares of Europe and Japan are down by 1.4 points and 2.3 points. China continues to grow, although its economic data are always subject to question. Where's the bad news in that? We've had better growth here because we had more innovation, more productivity growth, and we produce and export natural gas. That's all sustainable and arguably good, but we've also had trillions of deficit-financed government spending. We continue to heavily stimulate an economy already at full employment and with milder but still significant inflation. The sugar candy of heavy borrowing is not a recipe for long-term success. I'm Patrick Varkey.
Cure or prevent any disease. Tax fees may apply.
Brought to you from the Montana Hot Springs Spas, home of the only saltwater hot tub in Montana studios.
taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Eric Maldonado, the fish are biting now. Tim in Savage, he will drive all the way from Mondakistan. He says if you're going on the water, you're going to need a former lifeguard trainer there for safety. Just tell me when. So, well, yeah, he's in. He's our safety guy.
You know, I'm not saying that you have to pay anybody, but my P.O. box.
Yeah, you should. Well, I know we're getting really short on time. Man, do we have a lot of folks that are going to, we're going to pack into the 9 o'clock hour here. Lynn Bennett is a great candidate here for House District 4 in the Flathead for these legislative races here, reducing taxes, supporting law enforcement, attainable housing, excellence in education. That's her platform. But she's not here to talk about herself. She's here to talk about an event coming up Saturday night. Lynn, great to see you. Lynn Bennett.
Yeah, thank you. It's so fun to be here with you live at Montana Talks, and thanks for letting me get on the radio to announce our program we're having this Saturday on the 27th from 5:30 to 10 p.m. It's the Diamonds and Denim Cowboy Ball. It's a brisket dinner. We have Laurel Rose is our dance instructor. We have a live band. It should be a really fun event. Tickets are $35 on Eventbrite, and you would just go to Eventbrite and type in Diamonds and Denim Cowboy Ball. We're coming close to selling out of tickets, so need to do it pretty fast.
So you're going to have dance lessons at this as well?
Right.
That's great. It'll be
a really fun event. Last year was a great time. We also have Don Kay as our MC, and he's going to make it a lively and exciting event, too. Thankful for him. And, yeah, if you want any more information, go to glaciercountrypachyderm@gmail.com or call me at 406-890-4468. We also have some sponsored tickets for young adults.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Very cool. One of the best classes I took, you know, as a kid growing up in Montana, you know, you go to street dances and, you know, well, and then heck, even, you know, I miss, you know, my favorite color is neon, that country song, you know, my favorite color is neon. But man, when you'd see the old guys, you know, dancing, you know, at the bar or something, you know, even as a kid in a small town, because the bar is the restaurant, it's the everything, right? And some of these small towns, But the best class, one of the best classes I took in college was a Western swing dance class. Because, hey, if you're going to be a Westerner, you better at least try to get out there and Western swing dance, right? A little two-step, right?
And here you have Laurel Rose. She's a lot of fun. She's going to do three different types of classes that night. And so by the time you know how to dance, you'll have the rest of the night to dance until 10 o'clock. And we have Dan Harmon, live band. You can request specific songs that you would like for him to play also.
So, well, and how many political functions, it's like, okay, here we go. Yeah. And a lot of people may not go because they're just like, okay, it's just speaker, 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 speaker. No time to hang out and have a good time. You get some great speakers and you get to hang out and have a great time.
Right.
Eric Maldonado, this was interesting. Lynn Bennett was telling us during the break, and we've only got about a minute to go here, but Navy SEAL veteran and Republican U.S. Senate candidate Tim Sheehy was supposed to be there as well. But he's an aerial firefighter, and he told me earlier in the week, he said, if we get short on pilots, I'm going to have to get back up in the air. So he is basically stepping away from an important event where he could be campaigning to get up there and save homes and save lives.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like that's very shady to me. It sounds like that's very patriotic to try to save lives, save homes, save our forest. It's interesting how all the commercials are that he doesn't care, and yet here the man is putting his life in the line. That's dangerous work.
I saw the Montana Democrat Party thanked Joe Biden for his service. What? You can't thank a Navy SEAL for his service or his Marine Corps wife for her service. You can't thank his aerial firefighters for their service. But this guy who's got us on the brink of World War III, who has, you know, caused so much harm. Oh, thanks for your service.
Yeah, well, again, I'm really surprised nobody's used the 25th Amendment yet.
What's the alternative right now? Whoa, even scarier, right?
Well, you know, it could show us what kind of a president she'd be.
All right, we've got a great lineup of folks joining us in the 9 o'clock hour. Stand by. Come down and see us at the Clubhouse Lounge in Kalispell. We'll be here at lunchtime as well.
Media Minute with Howard Kurtz.
President Biden looked older somehow as he addressed the country from the Oval Office last night, 3 days after a posting saying he would not run for re-election. And even though he, to some extent, gave in to a media and Democratic Party pressure campaign, you do have to give him credit walking away from the job that he spent 50 years trying to earn. And he kept talking about the saving democracy, which was a pretty thinly veiled way of saying it's on the line. We have to keep it out of the hands of Donald Trump. And of course, he praised Kamala Harris, who is now the nominee. Now, the president didn't really fully explain things except for this. He wanted to serve notice that he's still president for six more months. He's going to work on all these things. Now, of course, he's a lame duck and Congress doesn't do anything in the final months of an election. But it was a coda to a career, like him or not, in which Joe Biden made some history. With your Media Minute, Howie Kurtz, Fox News.